Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Welcome to ES First. First time, 5,000 times, doesn't matter. We're glad you're here. We have preached through books of the Bible here. We preach through small books, big books, doesn't matter. Right now we're in the book of Mark. The book of Mark is a synoptic gospel. It is a story, a narration of the life of Jesus. I urge you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John a lot. Because we are followers of who? Jesus. And that is Jesus' story. So if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, read it a lot. Take notes. Study the way Jesus act. If you want to be a better Christian, study the way Jesus acted. If you want to be a follower of Christ, then you better know how Jesus acted. Okay, so we are in the book of Mark, and Pastor preached last week a little bit about how Jesus couldn't do miracles there because of their lack of faith. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. Most people skip over that simply because it's hard to swallow, isn't it? Shouldn't Jesus want to do stuff everywhere? And the Bible says that he does. And oftentimes people miss what God is willing to do because they simply don't believe him. You ever had a kid that didn't believe you? You know what I'm talking about? A lot of times I don't believe my dad. I just don't. Okay? My dad will say stuff and I'll be like, nah. Okay? Because when we were driving one time, we were driving to Lewiston, Idaho. We were driving through Montana. And oftentimes the bridges have these signs that say, watch for ice on the bridge. It's like, Dad, what does that mean? I was just a young kid. What does that mean? And he proceeded to unfold this whole story about this little Native American woman named Icy who would come out on the bridges and scrape up the leftover salt that was on the roads. And he's like, so that means like when Icy is out there on the bridges working, make sure you watch out for Icy. It's my dad. He does crazy stuff like that. I was going to tell you, one time I just turned five, and I was kind of a X Games kind of guy before X Games was really cool. I used to skateboard and do all sorts of stuff, and I was pretty good at riding a bike, and my dad got me my first real BMX bike when I was about 5 years old. But my birthday was in March, and April came around, and I still had this raggedy old Huffy that I had gotten from my great uncle John, and it had like a little barrel on the front you could shove stuff in. You know what I'm talking about? It was everything short of the tassels. And so my dad calls me in April, and he says, son, if you go out to the van, open up the back of the van, there's a brand new bicycle in there for you. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, just go check it out. So I run out there. I'm so geeked. I open up the back, and there's absolutely nothing in there. Not one thing. And I come back up, and I get on the phone, and I said, Dad, there's no bicycle in there. And you know what he said? April Fools. Who does that to their five-year-old kid? My dad. Okay? The good news is Jesus isn't like that. God isn't like that. When God speaks, he means what he says. When God speaks, there's truth to it. And oftentimes because we don't see results or because our circumstances often are manipulated by what we experience, then we'll say, well, maybe God is just pulling an April Fool's joke. Maybe God is trying to tell me another story about Icy on the bridge. And so we can't really trust God. But God never, ever lies, the Bible says. He's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't even change his mind. If he speaks it about you, there is no plan B, C, D, whatever. It is plan A always. It's just that you don't always understand plan A. Period. Period. And so when Jesus begins to talk about things, I want to pay attention because he is the person who speaks truth over my life beyond what anybody else will say. And so when we look at the Word of God, sometimes there's some stuff in there that's hard to swallow. Sometimes there's stuff there that doesn't always line up with what we've been taught, because oftentimes we've been taught things like, hey, there's a bicycle in the back of that van for you, right? Not everybody speaks the truth over your life, but oftentimes they speak facts. There's a difference between facts and truth. Did you know this? I don't want to get that deep so quick. Okay, so here we go. The book of Mark, let's read it. Book of Mark, chapter 6, We'll start with verse 6b. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is powerful and effective. Lord, give us ears to hear. I don't even say give us. I say thank you for ears that we have to hear. Thank you for eyes to see what you are saying to us. Give us life and life more abundantly because you promised to. Show us what you are doing inside of us and let it come out on the outside so it's evident to all. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a confession to make. I just came back from Atlanta, Georgia. It has nothing to do with Atlanta, Georgia. I just know this about myself. I'm selfish. I like myself a lot. You like yourself a lot? Are you selfish? Maybe you're not selfish. Let's just go back to me. I'm very selfish. Very selfish. Today, I drove up to the coffee shop. I went inside and bought myself a latte, and I came back out and I drank it right in front of my kids. I didn't even offer them a coffee. Right now, I'm drinking water. I don't care if you're dehydrated. I don't care if you're near death. This is my water. Jesus knew this about us so much that he was willing to address it. He says, I want, first of all, for you to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Everything that's in you, I want you to love me with that. Why? Because he wants to be first place. The world would love to tell us to love yourself, and I think it's important to love yourself. God thought it was so important to love yourself that he would even put it in the second commandment. He didn't say, don't love yourself. He said, love others the way you love yourself. Why? Because he knows you will never stop loving yourself. He knows that you'll never stop being selfish. Isn't that great? He knows that you'll never stop taking care of yourself. Like when you're hungry, you'd be like, man, I need to eat. We even have whole statements about it. Like, you just have to forgive me. I'm a little hangry. Right? I get so hungry, I just like choke people out. That's what he's saying. Like, and God says, I want you to love people the way you love yourself. Why? Because you'll never stop loving yourself. You'll never stop taking care of yourself. Even scientists who are not even Christians have come up with ideas about the survival of the fittest. The survival of the one who will take care of themselves the best. Isn't this amazing? Every time we're faced with something, we have two reactions, fight or flight. Why? Because we take care of ourselves. We like ourselves a lot. Don't you love yourself? Just, you know, look at yourself, tap yourself on the shoulder and say, I love you. Yeah, you love yourself. The problem with loving yourself is oftentimes it gets in the way of what is really good for you. Remember when you were 2 years old and you used to like, you figured out how to cry? You don't remember this, but your parents remember it well. They slapped you, they shook you, they did everything to get you to stop because you are a spoiled little brat. I remember when Judah is the ultimate crier. He can, and he's got four sisters, so he's got to figure it out. Judah can whine to get whatever he wants. He can be in the other room, and he knows exactly the level of cry to make me come and say, hey, who's messing with Judah, right? And sometimes it's like, you know, he's got that kind of cry. So he's going, right? And I'm convinced that all of it is absolutely absurd. All of it is just fake. Every cry that Judah has is fake. So you know what happens now? When he cries, I say, Judah, come here, son. Avery, come here. Avery, what happened? You know, she's like, I don't know. And Judah's like, she hit me with that sword across the face. Which, if you know Avery, she more than likely hit him across the face with the sword. Okay? That's what he did. Slapped him, just boom. And she has like no pain. She is like, her pain tolerance is very high. She can take a lot of pain. And so she just thinks everybody else can take pain. And so she really dishes it out. And so like, if she sees it on TV, it's a complete go. I'm serious. So she's like ninja chopping, kicking people in the face. Like, I mean, she literally kicks people in the face, like as hard as she can, donkey kick to the face. And here's Judah. And he just kind of takes it because they're his sisters and, you know, ah, whatever. And so, ah, he's crying. And so now I just go, Judah, what happened? She kicked me in the face. Okay, Judah, go lay on your bed. That's all I have to do. Judah, go lay on your bed. And you know what happens in about 3 seconds? He stops crying. He forgets that Avery did anything to him. You know, I'm okay with her kicking me in the face if I have to lay in bed. You know, he just moves on with his life. Avery, I used to put her in timeout. I used to create all sorts of disciplines for Avery. But the truth is, Avery's just going to be Avery. And so I've just embraced the, hey, if you want to beat everybody up, it's fine. I'll come visit you in prison. Just kidding. But, you know, I do believe that one day she'll probably be like, have more titles than Ronda Rousey. I just kind of believe that. And I'm okay with that too. But here's the deal. We're just that way. We've never grown up from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We know how to get the attention we want. We know how to act out when we act out. We know how to want the things that we want, despite even if it's good for us or bad for us. And sometimes God says to us, he's like, hey, I'm going to need you to go to your bed. I'm going to need you to go sit in your room. I'm going to need you to handle yourself a little better than what you've been handling yourself. He does that. Why? Because he sees a plan A for us, and oftentimes it's a little different than what we imagine. And so we're so upset that plan A isn't working, we've just abandoned the whole idea of plan A. We've gone on to something else. Did you know, at one time in my life, I almost gave up on being a pastor to sell houses. Think about this. To sell houses. Who would ever want to buy a house from me? I can't think of anyone, right? But along the way, God began to keep confirming to me, Brandon, this is what you're supposed to do. This is your plan A. This is where you go. This is how you do it. I know it doesn't seem like it right now. And I'm just all the way down. And people are like, I don't know. Is Brandon going to do something else? It's funny the things people say to me. Like, are you really going to move to L.A.? I'm like, no. I have a house in Excelsior Springs. What makes you think I would want to move to L.A.? Right? Just kidding. One day I might have a house in L.A. and Excelsior Springs. How cool would that be? But in our lives, we tend to have an idea of what maybe God showed us, what God is calling us to. One time we were so clear. I spent time with teenagers this week. And teenagers are awesome because it reminds me of what it was like when I had heard God speak clearly for some of the first times in my life. And he began to show me things about what I would do and where I would go and things that would happen. And I believed it wholeheartedly. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, your life gets different. Has your life ever gotten different from what you once had a vision for? Once you're like, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll just, you know, I'll sell everything. Just call me to Nicaragua. Call me to Zambia. Call me to China. I want to go and be a missionary. Call me to be a pastor. Call me to be an amazing mother. Call me to be a wife. Call me. And you have all of these ideas about what you want to do with your life. And then all of a sudden, things start to go a little different, okay? Now, what happens is, in those moments, we usually have a place where we go, okay, now it's fight or flight, because something comes against us, and we got to just handle whatever it is in front of us. You got to handle something, and then what happens is you go, well, this is in front of me, so plan A can't be the thing, right? Plan B has got to be the thing. Plan C has got to be the thing. Plan D, E, F, whatever it is, but there is no plan any other letter in the alphabet than A for God. Period. It's like A. He's like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. He's like, A. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I mean, you just don't understand how hard it is. Ah, she hit me. Ah. A. I don't know if I mean, it's like, it's just this stuff happened to me and the people at work and I don't know. I can't take it. He's like, A. And you're like, ah, you just start heave-hoing. He's like, go to your room. But you don't understand what they did to me. I don't care. I gave you a command. It was love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love everybody else around you like yourself. Well, what if they slap me with a sword in the face? Plan A. Well, what about, what about if I don't have the funds I needed to accomplish it? What if I hit bankruptcy? What if I lose my house? What if, you know, just keep going down the line about every excuse that we have about what other people did to us, and God is still like, hey, plan A. Plan A. So here's Jesus. He's with his 12 disciples, and they have all of this stuff going on. I mean, the miracle after miracle after miracle. There's beautiful things happening, and God is, and Jesus is teaching them things. And like he wants to do miracles in towns, and people won't even let him because they don't believe him. He's limited by their unbelief. That's an amazing thing to think about. That maybe God wants to do some things in your life, and you're like at plan X, simply because you won't believe God for plan A. And God never had a plan X. He simply had a plan. And you have been pouting and crying and excusing and doing everything else, self-medicating, going to see every doctor, going around and around and around in circles in the cul-de-sac of life. And he's like, bro, plan A. Simply because you won't believe him. And so then he says, here's the deal. I want you all to come to me. He gathers the 12. He's like, I know we've been at this a little bit. You've seen me heal a dead girl. You've seen me heal a woman with an issue of blood. You've seen me not be able to do miracles all within like a very short period of time. It's like, what's going on? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and do what I've done to everyone else. Now, this, in my opinion, is God's plan A for every person. I'm going to show you a little bit about it. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that God rules and reigns over his people. He's not the king of Israel. David was the king of Israel. Jesus is the king of all kings. And oftentimes in our lives, we're bowing down to another king instead of serving the king of all kings. You're bowing down to your emotions. You're bowing down to your fear. You're bowing down to your co-workers. You're bowing down to the relationship that you're in. You're bowing down to a set of circumstances. You're living below what God has actually said you're supposed to live at. You've even bowed down to good morality or humanitarianism, helping other people in the name of serving the King of all kings. This is what God says. I want you to preach the kingdom. The kingdom is this, that all authority under heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. All authority under heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. Most of us don't live our lives that way because we don't see that. It looks like plan any letter of the alphabet. It looks like God is not winning. He's not king of all kings. In fact, he's let us down enough times that we have abandoned ship. But he draws the 12 to them and he says, I want you to go out and preach the kingdom that Jesus Christ has authority over everything. When he rises from the dead, he comes back and hangs out with his disciples and he gives them a command. He says, all authority has been given to me, so therefore you should go. Most of us are like, well, all authority has been given to Jesus, therefore I should serve him and just live my puny little life day in and day out. Whatever comes at me, just put up with it. After all, it's my cross to bear. And never live in the authority that Jesus actually called us to live in. You're putting up with many things because you thought God gave up on your plan A, when in fact, God has never given up on a plan A. You are just limiting his power in your life because you won't believe him for plan A. It's period. So here he is, he draws the 12, he says, I want you to go out, I want you to preach the kingdom. What's the kingdom? Jesus Christ has authority over him. Ephesians tells us, it just lists out, every power, every ruler, every authority, everything seen, everything unseen. He just names it all. He just covers it all. He's like, has been given to Jesus. And then he tags at the end of this statement for the church. Who's the church? You. It's not ES First. It's not Presbyterian Church. It's not the Baptist Church. Not the Methodist Church. It's every person who believes in the name of Jesus Christ. It is even your Catholic brothers and sisters. Word? Yes. Those who will believe in the power of Jesus Christ, that will submit themselves and become followers of Jesus, he has given them authority. Jesus has been given authority for them, for you, for your situation, for your mental problems, for everything that is hindering you, God has power for. So why does he do it? Well, oftentimes it's because simply because you will not yield yourself to his power. You won't. And sometimes it looks like a 12-step program. And you're like, I don't want to do that. Sometimes it looks like counseling. Sometimes it looks like going to the doctor. Sometimes it looks like going to the gym. Those are just some ways that God works. Sometimes we are so trying to be whole that we'll attach ourselves to any relationship thinking it's from God, when God just wants you to be alone with him for a while. You know who you are. Thirsty. Sorry, I just came back from Atlanta. We're a little different in Atlanta. He draws them, he says, preach the kingdom of God. First of all, first place is that the kingdom has authority. Anything in your life that is not submitted to his authority will experience outside corruption. Any place in your life that does not have, is not placed under God's authority, Jesus' authority, will have outside corruption. Period. So we as believers, as followers of Christ, have to continually put ourselves under the dominion of our King Jesus. So we're in his kingdom. Everybody wants an idea of the kingdom. Well, we serve Jesus. But a lot of people don't want to be submitted under the authority of Jesus, because that would mean that our lives have to change. That would mean that some things have to go. Some of the things you watch, some of the things you let your kids watch, would have to go. I'm talking about the corruption that you let into your life. I'm talking about the people you sit around and listen to. You even have prayer groups with people. You have people you call prayer partners that are the worst things for your life. You call it something holy, but it's simply not. Simply not. I won't hammer on it too much. But anything that is not submitted under kingdom, king's dominion, is therefore submitted to corruption. Corruption will come in. And that is where we live. So Jesus is hanging out with the 12, and he says, come to me. I want you to go out and tell people about my dominion, king's dominion, kingdom. Preach the kingdom. And he says, when you go out there, I want you to walk into houses, and if they open up their house to you, you go in and you stay there. This is a picture of Jesus. Why does he do this? Because he wants them to be representatives of him. He wants them to look like him, talk like him, do what he does, and says what he says. So they go out. He's like, I didn't want you to even carry some stuff with you. He says, don't take, you know, a second shirt. He says, take your sandals, that's fine. Don't take any money. He says, I want you to get used to depending on my power, not your own power. I don't think God is against any of those things, because actually Jesus had them. Jesus had those things. And there are places that he went, he had stuff. Other people had stuff. People that were followers of his had stuff. That's not the point. So if you want me think I want you to be homeless, that's not the point. But the point is, what do you trust in? And sometimes if you trust on something else other than Jesus, Jesus will say, hey, why don't you cut that out? Why don't you get rid of that thing? I need you to go out fully trusting in me. I was in Atlanta, and we went out on a Wednesday night, and they had what they call Princess Night, and women go out and hand out a rose to somebody who is working the street corner and give them a handmade card, Bible verses, and a number for them to get help, meaning to be rescued. And so we go out, and we had some teenagers in our group, and some of the parents caught wind that we were going to go do this, which we told them ahead of time that we're going to do this, but they sent their kids on a nice little cute little missions trip, and then all of a sudden we're going out and hanging out with prostitutes and pimps. And they thought that might be a little overboard. Like, what else is a mission trip for? Right? But to go out into the darkest places. So here we go. Out into, we're driving around in a van, a white van. And there's like 10 of us in a van. And we pull up. If we see somebody, pull up, stop, row four, out the car. And we're kind of in teams. Jump out the car, walk around the backside of the van. And we just kind of go after people that look like they might be in the job. So, here we are. We're driving, and I'm sitting next to a girl. I won't tell your name. I'm sitting next to this girl that's on my team. She's a young teenage girl, and my job is to get out, and we don't talk to the prostitutes. The girls talk to the prostitutes. My job is to keep them safe. Okay, now, I'm not from Atlanta, right? I've seen ATL. I think T.I. was brilliant in that movie. I listened to Jermaine Dupri a lot in the 90s, so I kind of know a little bit about ATL. Enough to know that guys from Iowa don't really have much power in the alleyways of Atlanta. So here we are. We jump out, or actually we're in the back of the car, and we're driving, and just we're getting ready to wrap it up. And this is one of the girls from the churches who their parents are like, you're doing what? And so we assured all the parents that we weren't going out at night. We weren't going to be hanging out in alleyways with pimps and prostitutes. It was this nice, flowery version of ministry. We get out there, and when our team goes out, the sun goes down. It's absolutely pitch black. And here is a prostitute on the street. And I say to the girl in the back seat, hey, look over there. And they told us at the beginning, like, we will stop at different places. Don't yell, stop, stop, stop. I see somebody right there. So I'm like, hey, check out that. There's a girl out there. And we're kind of praying in the van for people. And this little 17-year-old goes, hey, can we stop? And the guy's like, I don't know. You want to stop? She's like, yeah, there's somebody back there. So we stop, and they let us out. All these things are not what we're supposed to do. We told the parents that we were not doing this. And here is this 7-year-old girl, like, going to tackle a prostitute on the streets of Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, right off Peachtree Street, which is also the street that I live on, only in Excelsior Springs. So we hop out the van, and her and this girl is from Kearney, and the leader girl is this little 20-year-old girl who's a part of the team, and she's from Wisconsin. So we have a Wisconsin 20-year-old girl and a 17-year-old girl from Kearney, and they're like, hey, they're running down the street, and I'm walking, you know, checking out what's going on. And another pastor named Andrew. Andrew's about 24 years old. He's an awesome guy. I love him so much. But he's a little freaked out. But me, I'm not freaked out at all. Want to know why? Because I'm horrid like that. just in. So we hop out the car. And they're chasing this woman who is like 6'3 in heels. Because she is not a woman. She's a dude. True story. And so they're chasing her, and like, hey, excuse me, ma'am. And she's walking, you know, like, little skirt, little tank top thing, wig, and heels, and she's walking, and she keeps walking, and all of a sudden she turns off the main street into this back alleyway where there's, like, no street lights. And so they walk back there, and I'm like, trying to catch up but not look like, hey, what y'all doing? And I walk around, and here they are. They're talking to this girl named Ashley, who is a guy. Start talking to her and give her a rose and a card. And say, can we pray with you about anything? And so Ashley's like, yeah, you actually can pray for me. She says, I got jumped last night. I got jumped last night while I was working. And the guys took all my money. And I need to make money today. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen. So in our minds, we're like, well, meet me at my little coffee talk on Tuesday, and we'll have a latte and talk about how you can beat anxiety. Don't we? We can talk it out. Wouldn't that be great? I can tell you about how you can maybe add Jesus to your life, and then it will start to get better. Kind of like sugar with your coffee. They'll take the bitter things and start to make them sweet, and so they're tolerable. Wouldn't that be so wonderful for you? And we could praise God, because isn't he awesome? So she's like, I just got beat last night. I mean, she had marks on her face, everything, all money taken. She's like, pray that I make money tonight. We didn't pray for her to go to CVS that maybe they let her mop the floor. Are you tracking with this? We're praying for a dude dressed up like a woman to make more money by being a prostitute. What can you do? What can you do? And we begin to talk about how God's favor was on her. And the blessing of God would be on her life. Half of you don't even know what to even call this person. I'm going to tell her that God deeply loves her. All the while, there's two cars in this parking lot having a drug deal, and they're pulling back. I'm standing in the middle of the street watching. Just, they're like back behind my back. There's like vines growing up, bushes, trees. And as that's happening, two more hookers who are dudes come up. Brooklyn and I forget the other one's name. I haven't written down. They come up. What's going on over here? I'm going to pray for them. All the while, a number of guys come walking by. They aren't just like average Joe people in New York City. Oh, I got to get to my job. These guys are all hiding out in the bushes. Each one comes out little by little. And they ask things like, you good? And I'm standing here in the darkness saying, yeah, man, I'm good. And you good can mean a number of different things. It could mean, would you like to buy some drugs? It could mean, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. This is our space. Are you messing with our girl? Are you messing with our business? What are you doing here? And about 10 different guys passed me, each one asking me the same thing, looking me in the eye. You good? You good? Yeah, man, I'm good. We're just praying for some people. Can I pray for you? Nah, man, I'm good. Okay, I'm going to pray for you anyway. God bless you, man of God. Man of God. Man of God. Man of God. Why? Because the kingdom rules and reigns. Wherever you go, preach the kingdom. We preach the kingdom. I'm not here to preach some kind of sugary, like, come to Bible study and maybe your life will get better. I want you delivered. I want your life different. Everywhere I go, I want your life different. So we stand here. We pray for these three women, each of them, not women, each of them giving their bodies for a living. Each of them trying to figure out how to survive. Forming relationships. Would you like a ride to church? Yeah, I'd love to come to church. You know, I've gotten these cards before from you. I always wonder about what the people are thinking when they write them. We say, actually, that person that wrote that was praying for the person who would receive it. So if you received it, they were thinking about you. Letting you know that you're dearly loved by God. And here we are, me, this girl who's 17 years old, Maya, who's 20 years old, that works for Atlanta Dream Center, and Andrew, who's scared out of his mind, in the middle of a back alleyway in downtown Atlanta, in the middle of the dark. And these are the things that God has called our plan A to. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to go out and preach the kingdom. He says, when you get out there, I want you to heal the sick. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cast out demons. Give me Matthew. This is my favorite passages of the entire Bible right here. Matthew 10. This is the other account of it. If you look at the same story in the book of Matthew, Jesus says the same thing. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those that have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, he starts off with like, you, as you go, proclaim this message. And then he just kind of goes on. He's like, hey, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Now, we are so conditioned about God does not want to use us, we don't even really understand what that means. But what Jesus is saying in a moment, he starts off with, as you go. In other words, you are going to go. As a follower of me, you have to go. You have to go into the places where nobody else wants to go. You have to go work at the job where most Christians do not get along with other non-Christians. You have to go to a place where things are not always the way you want them to be. But as you go, preach the kingdom. Preach the kingdom. And then he just goes, heal the sick, raise the dead. And we go, oh, that's so awesome. The disciples get to do that. But actually, there is a thing in the English language. It is called the implied subject. It means that once you use the subject once, you can go on talking about more stuff and never be direct about it. But everybody knows that you're talking about the person at the beginning. And so he says, as you go. We want to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That sounds awesome. Wouldn't it be great to go, you know, to Africa? Wouldn't it be great to go to Atlanta, to go to a nice little mission trip? Wouldn't that be awesome? But he says, as you go, that means everywhere you walk, every place that you set your foot, you have to go for God to do something. You have to step out and say, this is where I'm going. And so that means God is in this moment. And so he says, heal the sick. But what he really means is, you heal the sick. What he means is you raise the dead. What he means is you cleanse the leper. You cast out demons. That's what he means. So every place that you says, when you read that, when you think about that, you have to say, I raise the dead. I cleanse the leper. I bring the kingdom. When I stand in the back alleyway, the light of Jesus Christ's kingdom reigns on me. There's no reason why a white dude from Jefferson, Iowa, should stand in the back alleyways of Atlanta messing with people's business and live to tell about it. But I had no fear. I wasn't even scared. And somebody said afterwards, like, yeah, I heard you were a little scared. I said, no, that wasn't me, that was Andrew. And Andrew's like, yeah, I was scared. And Andrew says, why weren't you scared, Brandon? It's like, I don't know. I just get out there. I don't have any fear about it. Streets of Skid Row. I'm not afraid. I probably should be. Most places that I have been in my life, there's probably some places that I should have been afraid. I should have been absolutely scared. Riding in taxi cabs at midnight in Africa. Y'all don't even know about that one. Traveling the island, Nassau, Bahamas, where the tourists don't go. And then in moments, the guy's like, hey, I just wanted to let you know this is not really the safest place. And I'm like, yeah, that seems like it. And I get kind of freaked out on the inside for a minute, and I walk a little faster for a moment. And I'm like, okay, I gotta chill out. Doesn't look very cool. But you don't have to put up with those kind of fears because you're not from that place. But I'll tell you what kind of fears you do have to put up with. What will they think about me? What will they say? What if they don't accept me anymore? Because I'm willing to confront their darkness. Because I'm willing to bring the kingdom. A person who is under the kingdom of God understands that they have something to bring to people's lives. I'm here to let you know that when Jesus Christ says heal the sick, whether they have an illness or not, humanity is sick. The world is sick. You're bowing down to sickness in people's life that God has dominion over. You can't even process that because you're so hurt by their words. And God's like, who gave you your identity? Them or me? Whose kingdom do you serve? Their kingdom or my kingdom? You're so offended about what somebody said in a moment, the way they treated you. You need to respect me. This is the way we act. You need to learn how to act. Be more polite. I'm sorry. You need to walk with more light into the kingdom of darkness. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Most people you deal with are dead people and you expect them to be alive. Imagine walking into a funeral and saying, why aren't you alive? That's how ridiculous it is when you demand light from darkness. When you demand life from death. And you are in charge of bringing life to the dead. Everywhere you go. If people don't know Jesus, they're dead. And you're judging them as if they already have the light of Christ in them. Some of you are sitting around on social media typing messages to people who are absolutely dead as if they can see the light. Why would you waste your time? Get busy about doing what God said to do. Going where God said to go. He says, you do it. You go. You. Well, maybe somebody else will. Maybe Peter, James, and John will. We can just send an apostle. Maybe Brandon will go to Atlanta for us. Maybe Brandon will talk to somebody. I don't know. I got their number. I'll give it to Brandon and he can talk to them. No, you go. You pray. You serve with all the power of heaven, the kingdom in your world. He says, cleanse the leper. The leper, most people don't really process this, but lepers were cast out of the city. You couldn't touch them. You couldn't be near them. They had no human contact except with other lepers. Most of the people that you have contact with have been so pushed out that all they have contact with is other perverts, other drug addicts, other alcoholics, other depressed minds and hearts, others that have been living in anxiety. And you blame them because they have those things. That's all they've ever known. And the church pushes them out. And society pushes them out. And the schools push him out. From day one, this kid needs counseling. He needs the special classroom. He just can't exist with the other kids. Push him out. That's where we live. It says, cast out demons. Some problems in your life are demonic. And some problems are just psychological. Oftentimes, demonic influence your psychological and then leave you to your own thoughts. And you think it's so natural. The world has told us that these things are so natural, we'll just live with them, try to figure out ways to put band-aids on things that God has actually called us to deliver people from. Oh, just come to my coffee talk. Awesome. Never get free. Oh, just come to my Bible study. Never get free. God is offering wholeness. He's offering identity. He's offering a rule and a reign, and it is all attached to plan A. And your plan A is to go. You go. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. Everywhere you set foot shall be yours. This is the way God operates. He shows you places that are your territory as lords, small kings and priests in his kingdom. Beautiful thing. It's deep, isn't it? Sorry, I started with the prostitute story. The prostitute story got me going. So what happens is the 12 come back. Jesus feeds 5,000 people and then 72 disciples. Now, most of the time, we don't really associate works of God with our life because we think it's just for the disciples. But actually, there were 72 others, other than the 12, who were just hanging out. In other words, if you hang around with Jesus, you are going to be also sent. So after this, the Lord sent 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of every town and place where he was about to go. He told them the harvest is plentiful, but the... You think that Jesus is more worried about 12 people being awesome or billions being saved? The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Well, you don't understand where I work. Sounds like wolves. You don't understand my extended family. Sounds like wolves. I mean, you don't know what it's like out there, Brandon. I mean, you just come in here and pray in your office for 40 hours a week. Preach one time a week. You don't know what it's like. I wish I had a job like yours. Maybe you have a wolf job. I do. People here are terrible. Next one. He jumps down. He says a lot of the same things about what he should take, whatever. And then he goes to, was it 9? Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Sound familiar? And then he goes down to 17. The 72 return with joy. And what do they say? Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Could it be that you don't push back any darkness or you're not even going because you think it's all about you? Their report was that Jesus, when we go out with your power and your name and your authority, when we really believe that all authority has been given to you for us, things change. Things change. Things in your world can change. Things at your work can change. Things in your family can change. Everywhere you go can change. I have an idea that maybe the train of God's glory, the great kingly train, surrounds you and I in a way that we cannot see. That everywhere we go, the darkness looks at us and sees light. And they say things like, you good? You good? You good? I have no idea what people saw in me in a back alley, but I wasn't scared, and I have a feeling they were scared of me for some reason. They weren't trying to be my friend, although a lady at the McDonald's drive-thru told me and Ryan we were pretty sexy. She's like, what are you two sexy things doing? Y'all going to the lake? So you want to hop in, Sharita? It's a different welcome at the McDonald's than it was in the back alleyway. Nobody was telling me I was sexy, but they want to know if I was good. I said, do you want me to pray for you? And they said, no, I'm good. In other words, I got a feeling that my life would be messed up like yours if I hung around with you too much longer. Crazy white boy in the back alleyways of Atlanta. It's true. What could happen in your life if everywhere you went, you began to bless and not curse? And I'm not talking about saying the F word. I'm talking about the way you curse people. You just understand, that's just the way they are. They'll always be that way. Cursed. Just imagine the things that God is calling you to do, but you can't even get it right because you don't see God's power. You only see you wasting away like sugar and coffee.
instead of overcoming the darkness with the great light of the kingdom of God.
There are people that give their lives to bringing the goodness of God to every situation. There are people who have given their lives to restoring the broken. There are people who have realized that even though they were on plan M, they needed to take a rewind clear back to plan A, which is love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor like you love yourself. We're so selfish, we want to add God to our lives. Make my life better, God. Not knowing that if we submit to his plan, there's more abundance than God has ever begun to show you at one place. He's like, I'm going to make it better than you ever dreamed. I have to tell this to my kids. Like, look, if you just do what I say, I know it seems terrible right now, but trust me, there's a lot better on the other side of that. As a matter of fact, some stuff in your life has been held back simply because you are only thinking about yourself. That's why Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You're hoarding things. Not just talking about money, you're hoarding things. You read a scripture verse every single day on your Bible app, and then you hoard it as if it's only for you. I'm not talking about sharing a post. I'm talking about delivering life to people. You read a devotional. You have a prayer time. And then you're not even sharing it with anybody. It gives you life. And you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I have so much life from this. And then you don't deliver the kingdom to anybody else. You're selfish. You've missed the power of the implied subject, which is you go. You heal. You, 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 you. And if it's going to be, it has to start with you. It has to start with you. 12 people died. Every disciple died for the faith. Why? Because they're willing to lay their lives down for something so powerful that could change the world. Will you lay your life down? Or are you just going to be selfish because somebody kicked you in the face? And you got to keep sitting in time out until you can figure out how to get your selfish little attitude fixed again and again. And again, well, I didn't get this. Well, it just happened. It didn't happen that way for me, Brandon. I don't know. I'm on plan M. No, there's only plan A. Get back on the route. Do what you're supposed to do. Go into all the world. You go. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the leper. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Stand to your feet. Bow your heads. Close your eyes real quick. I'm going to call you higher. So this is going to hurt. Okay? Because anybody can walk on a straight path, but you put a little incline on it, it means that you have to go to a place that's going to require a little resistance. So Father, we declare right now your goodness and your mercy over your people. We have received it. We have tasted it. We are amazed at how powerful you are. And God, we say right now, with our hearts wide open, speak to us about what you want to have happen in our worlds. First of all, begin to show us things that are not submitted to your kingdom, that are facing corruption simply because we think that we are the king. Worse yet, that we are sharing a throne with you. Jesus and me, kings on the same throne. Forgive us, God. We repent. We change our mind. We change our hearts. We're walking to a new place, a new destination. And it's your plan for us. Father, we receive your majesty as King of all kings into our life. Places that are dark, that we've been hiding, that we're not sure if you can fix, we open up right now. We give them to you. Addictions, attitudes, rebellion in our life, which is witchcraft in our lives, we give to you. Pouty little selfish attitudes, we give to you, God. And we walk in the light of your love and grace right now. If you're here today and you say, I feel this. When you said you, I knew it was me. You go, I knew it was me. In my heart,
my life. I know that I got to go. I know that I got to do it. I know whatever it costs, wherever it goes, I got to go back to plan A. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you today. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. You're amazing.
Father, in the name of Jesus, you see these people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. They're committing themselves in new ways. Every plan they gave up on, every dream that is dying away, every ember that is slowly going to gray would begin sparking new flames in their life. They'd be world changers. They would take the kingdom. They would carry your light into the darkest places. They would bring deliverance. They'd bring healing. They'd bring life more abundantly because they know they are called to a plan A. Begin to restore their hearts. Kindle a flame for love for you, because if we love you well, if we begin to live in that love, then our lives will be different to everyone else. Let wholeness and healing flow in your people, God. Let you be more than enough in every circumstance. In places where we have picked up bags to be sufficient, you would be more than enough. We place them down, God, and we walk fully in what you have declared us to walk in. We believe, God, that we are your people. We walk in your kingdom. And it begins with us saying yes to you, God. In Jesus' name, let your blessing be on your people in new ways, for new territory, in new dreams. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God a praise today?